This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. And then the rains came. Jeff, Burning Man, a desert, a rainstorm that we would, well, I would work in the garden in a rainstorm of 1.5 inches. What happened at Burning Man?
Good evening, John. Well, Burning Man, which is this week-long festival of music, arts, counterculture, drug-fueled orgies, you name it, goes on out there with about 70 to 90,000 people out on the desert in northern Nevada. Well, this year, out there on the desert, they had rain. They had it by the bucket load. It was raining for, in a period of 24 hours, it rained about 3 or 4 months worth of rain. And that doesn't have to be very much rain out there because it's a desert and there aren't many places for the water to go. So it pooled, created huge mud pits everywhere. And they asked everybody to stay because there was no way they could get their cars or trucks out without them getting stuck in the mud. And then it would be even more difficult to evacuate people. So about 70,000 people remained there over the weekend waiting for it to dry out. And apparently it's dry enough. They're starting to leave the place now.
Jeff, 1.5 inches of rain. That's what the Reuters is saying here. There's no drainage. So I'm looking at video. It looks like it turned into a sloppy bunch of ruts. But what is this like, Jeff? Is it a city? Do they provide utilities, like a camping ground? What's it like? Because the mud looks like it stopped everything.
It did stop everything. It really did. But what it is people pay a fee. They pay actually quite a hefty amount to go out there. And tickets are usually sold out, so they have to go through lotteries or through a grandfathered-in system. But what happens is, people have to be self-sufficient. There are some facilities provided by the promoters, the producers. They have bathrooms out there and water is provided. But you're responsible to bring out your own food, your own, gas to get back and forth. There aren't any stores out there. They do have a barter system between people, between the campers out there. But it's really very primitive. Now, what is different are there are stages and areas throughout this huge area in the desert they call the playa or the beach. And so they have these laser shows and neon light exhibits and music everywhere. I have several friends out there who have been playing. Some were stuck. Some got out in time. We're playing music with different bands. But it's a big annual festival. Typically, it draws from Northern California. But over the years, it's pulled from all around the world. It's a huge thing. And a lot of celebrities attend as well.
So it rains, you said, several months worth. But it hardly rains in the desert. There's no drainage. It rains. Why didn't people leave right away? Had they no experience with it raining?
They really didn't have the experience with it raining. It had drizzled there before. They'd had mud, but not like this before. And when it came so quickly and in such large amounts, especially for that area, by the time they realized what was happening, they were stuck. And the people that did try to get out, for the most part, had a very difficult time. Now, some people got out in four-wheel drives. Some people hiked out to the highway several miles away and caught rides. But really, most people were just stuck there, and the producers and the law enforcement area and the law enforcement folks in the area just said, stay there, we'll wait till it dries out, and that's when they've been able to drive out today.
They've had one death, but clearly, Jeff, the hygiene conditions collapsed immediately. There was no escape route or exit route. There was no plan B thinking. I'm thinking, just looking at it for the first time, I've heard about it from you for years, but I've never looked at it. This looks as if they could have predicted this. It's going to rain. You know it's going to rain. The Weather Bureau says it's going to rain. To say that everybody there didn't have experience, it's odd. Were they being tough? Sometimes when you're camping as a young person, you think it's cool that it's raining. Is that what it was?
I do think that's what it was. I think that was a big part. And you had some people giving media interviews who said, this is the Burning Man we planned for, that we hoped would be here, one that would be less about the billionaires and the techies who come in from Silicon Valley and stay for a couple of days and spend tens of thousands of dollars on their campsite, and more about getting back to nature and stripping it down to its bare essentials. So there's some people very happy about this. Some people are very unhappy. There's a thought right now that this might be the last one, that people are just tired of everything that's gone on, what it takes to get it done, the interactions they have with the authorities in the area. But really, this has been, I think, something they didn't plan well enough for.
And how far is it from Reno? I mean, the first thing I would want is a hotel room and a shower. Can they drive to it from there if they let them out?
Oh, they definitely could. Black Rock Desert, which is the location of this big giant campsite, is about 100 miles northeast of Reno. And so it's you know, a common thing for people to come to Reno, stay there a night or two before they drive out to Black Rock, or to come back to Reno and get cleaned up. Even if you don't have rain, the whole experience of being at Burning Man is one of being covered in dust and desert dirt. And that's the common refrain you hear, is that when they leave the campsite, they get back to civilization, they have to clean out their RVs, their tents, and then they have to shower for quite a lengthy period of time because sand and dirt find a way to get in.
Oh, yeah. It's Nevada desert. Now, there's this great big stick figure. Did they set that on fire on a year that it wasn't raining?
They set it on fire every year. I believe they set it on fire last night. Typically, they set it on fire on the Saturday night before Labor Day. Labor Day is when everything is, you know, the camp is closed and everybody leaves. But this year they had to wait an extra night, so apparently they did it last night. What originally started as a ritual on a beach just outside of San Francisco, kind of the arts community and some other people having a big bonfire and building this 8-foot-tall man, they've now created some of these Burning Men that are, it seems, about 100 feet tall or more. Some are illuminated. Sometimes they have fireworks in them, but they always make a big spectacle of burning it, and it's what almost turns the whole event into sort of a big pagan ritual by burning the Burning Man.
Jeff, I think I wasn't made to understand this. I think I'm counting on you to explain this. I'm trying to find some reason to be there, but I can't, so we'll move on. Maui, we need an update. We've been looking for the missing. We've been also looking for an explanation for how so many people with so much information did not act in time. First, the missing. Any clarification?
No clarification, although they've identified 5 more of the bodies they recovered. So it didn't change the number of missing. It did change the number of identified. And this is just part of the long, grim process in some cases. You're talking about DNA. You're talking about identification by relatives. It's going to take quite a while before they are able to identify all the remains. And again, they're never going to recover everybody that's missing. That's just a simple fact. It's a fact of science that fire was so hot and the winds blew so strong and so many things were disturbed. They're never going to find everybody, I'm confident, sadly to say.
And the last we talked, the fire department was faulted by the electric company. The electric company was faulted by everyone. The water company was faulted by everyone. The governor and the Senator Schatz, I recall, were urging people to come to the island no matter the fact that we have a catastrophe on one part of the island. Has that all moved around, or are they blaming new people?
There's still a lot of finger-pointing going on. There are people that are upset at the federal government and the president. They said, it was very nice of them to come by for a brief visit, but what did it mean? It didn't change anything, they feel. And the people there in Maui are very angry, very frustrated with Hawaiian government, not just the county government, but the state government. They say, really, it's getting to the point where we're having to do for ourselves because we're not getting the help, we're not getting the supplies, we're not getting the resources we need to begin rebuilding, to fixing our lives. So you have key members of the Maui community who are stepping in and leading the way, saying, look, if they're not going to do it, we're going to take care of it. This is going to be something that sticks with the people of Maui for generations to come. There's going to be a lot of residual bitterness, and it's going to be a problem for politics and other people throughout Hawaii for years.
The fire is said to have started because of the electric wires that touched the grass. Now, I'm presuming that isn't a phenomenon just in this part of Maui. It's on all the islands. So you know what PG&E went through after the allegations of that big fire a couple of years ago. Is there any information about Hawaii Electric reviewing all of its lines, removing all the grass, some holistic answer? Because if it can happen in Maui, it could happen in the Big Island, right?
That's right. It could happen in Oahu. It could happen on Big Island of Hawaii, any of the islands, because they all have certain types of vegetation that can be given over to, you know, a fire situation. They all deal with the same types of weather for the most part. So, yeah, there's going to be a strong look at the utilities there and how they deal with it. You know, it's not quite the same geography and geology that you're dealing with here on the mainland. So I don't know if the answer is to bury power lines like it has been in parts of Northern California, Southern California. But there's going to be a call for a big investigation that looks from top to bottom with Hawaii Electric to see about not only what are their procedures, why didn't they de-energize their lines, for example, during a big wind, big fire situation, but how do we deal with making sure this doesn't happen again? Do we replace poles? Do we do something different with the wires? That'll be a big part of this, and this is probably going to go on for years in terms of the way they look at this and make reforms.
Two catastrophes, Burning Man, one dead, many people with mud in their ears for days, and the second, the Maui tragedy. So time for good news. Big Kahuna. Big Kahuna hits the beach, and the Pacific delivers. But Big Kahuna, you tell me you got worked. What does that mean?
Getting worked means just how it sounds, is that I did not win today. I lost big. So the surf was pretty large. I would say the faces of the waves were probably in some cases 10, 12 feet. And they were just coming in large, rapid succession, these sets of waves. And so it was hard once you got out there to not get pummeled by these waves. And they weren't exactly in great shape. So surfing really was kind of out of the question. I tried to get out there, tried to deal with it, ended up losing a piece of my equipment because of it. But thankfully I got in. It was a type of situation a couple times where you get a thing called the hold down, where the waves come, you know, you fall, you go underwater, and you're held down by a wave. But then successive waves, especially if they're coming in quick succession, hold you down. And then, you know, you start running out of air. So you start thinking about things. You start appreciating life a little more. It was scary at times.
Big Kahuna, was everybody out there? Were all the guys in their wetsuits hanging 10 or whatever you call it?
Where I was at was just myself and one other guy. The lifeguards were keeping everybody out of the water if you didn't have any experience. But, you know, after that happened, I wasn't out there a whole long time, but I came back in and just said, I'm done for the day. I didn't see any reason to stay out there because it didn't look like the waves were going to get any better for me.
Well, now, Big Kahuna, if you go out into big waves and there's one other person, let's assume that it's not a smart idea, okay? More than one, right, Jeff? More than one.
As I told my wife when I came up, is that, you know, I'm not 22 anymore.
Yeah.
I don't take the damage quite like I used to.
Yodeler bliss, deckhand bliss, Big Kahuna bliss, fire smoke jumper bliss, engineer bliss. But today it was Pacific Watch versus the Pacific, and Pacific won. The Friends of History Debating Society, I'm John Batchelor.